Welcome to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew, and welcome to another edition of Week in Review. It is Friday. It is that time of the week again. And I have four topics we're going to cover today that caught my interest and hopefully catches your interest as well. The first topic we're going to cover is Joe Biden knocking on doors for unvaccinated people. Is that a good idea? Is that controversial? We'll look into it later on as we talk about this. We'll also talk about Trump. He started and filed a lawsuit against all the big tech companies out there, such as Google and Facebook. I'll give you my reaction to that. We'll also transition into track runner that got booted off the Olympics after testing positive for performing enhancing drugs, more specifically smoking weed. And we're going to go ahead and talk about that and the cherry picking involved as far as the application of fairness in the Olympic Committee's eyes, which will lead into the Coming For Your Children video, which I will save you 4 minutes and 5 seconds of your life. That's a foreshadow as far as my reaction. And before we go any further, we can go on break. I want to remind everyone you can follow me and read my newsletters at kenjin296.substack.com. kenjin296.substack.com. Just put a K in front of the word engine, and then you get the word Kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at Kenjin_Express, Kenjin_Express. And then finally, but not last, you can also follow me on Facebook at Taboo Topic and look for the logo that has honesty equals understanding. This is Taboo Topic, ladies and gentlemen. And here at this show, we dare to question the narrative. We have the audacity. We question the narrative and we believe that free speech triumphs your safe space. Before we go any further, we go to start this first segment. We'll go ahead and get on with this break.
We discussed how our administration is going to devote the remainder of the summer to a special focus on 5 ways to make gains in getting those of you who are unvaccinated vaccinated. Because here's the deal. We are continuing to wind down the mass vaccination sites that did so much in the spring to rapidly vaccinate those eager to get their first shot and their second shot, for that matter, if they need the second. Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors, to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus. Look, equity, equality, it remains at the heart of our responsibility of ensuring the communities that are the hardest hit by the virus have the information and the access to get vaccinated.
Welcome back to the episode of Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. And that short clip stirred up some controversy that was at a press conference when Joe Biden was talking about this 5-part plan to get everyone else vaccinated who had not been vaccinated. This was a result after we failed to meet the 70% threshold needed, according to, air quote, experts, that we need to prevent a Delta virus or the new virant of COVID-19, which the new COVID-19 variant, the Delta variant, as some of you may have heard by now, is now making headlines among the mainstream news outlets. That itself was controversial, and I'll get into the concerns from the Delta variant and what the, again, air quotes, experts are saying we need to do, or we may, or what may happen. But this particular quote stirred up even more controversy when the United States Secretary of Health and Human Services, when confronted about whether or not it's the government's business to knock on people's doors, this is what he had to say, and this stirred up even more controversy.
Perhaps we should point out that the federal government has had to spend trillions of dollars to try to keep Americans alive during this pandemic, so it is absolutely the government's business. It is taxpayers' business if we have to continue to spend money to try to keep people from contracting COVID and helping reopen the economy. And so it is our business to try to make sure Americans can prosper, Americans can freely associate. And knocking on a door has never been against the law. You don't have to answer, but we hope you do, because if you haven't been vaccinated, we can help dispel some of those rumors that you've heard and hopefully get you vaccinated.
That was from the Health and Human Services Secretary. Now, the latest scare, I would want to say, came from CNBC, and they were talking about the Delta variant coming out as a result of the failure to reach that threshold. This is what they're saying now. They're saying that, whatchamacallit, that because we failed to reach that threshold, that new virus is coming, and that with some of the first large gatherings in more than a year, is headed toward a quote-unquote dangerous fall season when Delta is expected to cause another surge in new cases. I'm going to use air quotes here. Health experts say that we may have to go to another mandate as far as reintroduce mask rules, capacity limits, and other health public measures that we took during last year. And that's what they're saying right now. Trying to see if I'm missing anything here. Yeah. They say that pretty much unless we go back to those limits as far as the mask rules and capacity limits and other health public health measurements, which I'm assuming they're talking about reintroducing lockdowns, that these cases are going to keep going up. Now, let's first address the statement of it's the government's business to knock on people's doors from both Joe Biden and the Human Health Secretary. Did I say that right? Health and Human Services. I got to remember that. Health and Human Services. This is not a guide, obviously, that I don't think the average person won't really know unless you follow politics. And even if you do follow politics, you don't really know much about these other cabinet members, I would say. Wow, where do we start with this? I think with this, let's first and foremost address the knocking on the door, right? They've clarified in a tweet that this is not the government knocking on people's doors and forcing you to take the mandate. Let's get that cleared up right now, which that's good, because anything else would be a violation of my constitutional rights. If I had a shotgun, I would introduce them Clint Eastwood style, get off my lawn, have the barrel of the gun pointed right at their face and threaten to get out of my property. It's not really my property, but you get the idea. I live in an apartment complex, so I can't really say it's my private property. But regardless, this is my dwelling. I pay the bills here, and they can jump off the cliff if they think they can mandate me to get a vaccination. I know in the military in particular, at least with the Army, I think the Army has just announced that they're going to start making the COVID-19 vaccinations mandatory. And normally when the Army takes charge of something, the other branches follow suit afterwards. So it's only a matter of time before military personnel have to get vaccinated in order to continue to work and to prevent themselves from getting in trouble. It seems like I missed the bus on that at a perfect time. Yeah, I don't know. It's who watches South Park? Anyone who watches South Park, let me know in the comments and everything like that, through the social media platform I mentioned in the beginning of the show. And there's an episode where they're making fun of the NSA. And at the end of the episode, spoilers here, beware. The person they portrayed as the main head of the NSA was Santa Claus. And they walked into a room where Santa Claus was like connected to all these wires on him. He's like literally watching everybody and listening to every conversation out there. It is a really hilarious episode, but the side plot also along with that was Butters and Cartman. They were knocking on door to door, and they were saying something along the lines of like, "Hello there, neighbor. Have you given your heart to the government? The government's here to protect you and serve you. You can trust and give your heart to the government, and the government will take care of you and the rest." Something along the lines like that. And there's some jokes now where they're comparing this to like Jehovah Witnesses out there, where they actually knock on people's doors for that stuff. That's literally what my head is at when I hear something like that. That this is about, you know, they want people vaccinated or something like that. And I'll be honest, I haven't gotten the vaccination and I don't really plan on getting vaccinated. At one point, I thought about getting vaccination just so I could see my family, because I was still part of the service at the time. And in order for me to travel to that particular state, in order to avoid the politics of it all, I had to get vaccinated. And unfortunately, by the time they denied my leave request, that's when the government, at least the DOD, decided, you know what, as long as you're vaccinated, you can go ahead and travel to these states. We don't care. And so at that point, I was about to separate anyway. So I was like, screw it. But even now, I would say, I am not planning getting a vaccination, at least this year, if anything. I'm just very skeptical as far as this is why you say air quotes when you say health experts here, but this is a virus that was clearly man-made and manipulated in a lab, which they can't censor me for that. It's been proven now. It's not a conspiracy theory after it was supposedly debunked by health experts, right? The same health experts and scientists that said it's impossible it came from a lab. It clearly came from an animal from a wet market. Duh. So that's why, hence the air quotes from when I said health experts and experts and scientists, whatever. But yeah, I don't feel comfortable. We never had a vaccination before where it is a result of the virus being manipulated by man. And so a part of me is hesitant, and I find it annoying. I would find it annoying, hence my analogy with the gun pointing to their face, if they actually knocked on my door and mandated me or tried to force me to get the vaccination. And Joe Biden is doing this in the name of racial equity and equality, which I'm assuming from his perspective, he's thinking the majority of the people who haven't been vaccinated are from lower income families. And so I didn't play the whole video, but the rest of the video actually gets into detail as far as like they're going to make sure the vaccinations are available at as simple as like CVS, pharmacies, and Walgreens, stuff like that, and available to like your personal doctor. Like the whole point of this plan is to actually make it more locally available, especially in lower income families, which, like I said, that's when you hear someone say like racial equity and equality, that's, they're pretty much talking about the minority communities, and the minority communities, the assumption that is like we live in smaller, poorer or lower income families, which he's technically not wrong, but there's also, like I said in the past, there's poor white people as well. So it'll affect the white population as well. It's just poor communities in general. But normally speaking, like when he's talking about, or when the Democrats or progressives, when they say that, they're more or less thinking about the minority community in particular. But, you know, when it comes to equity, especially when he's talking about equity in this political sense, and this is the problem in the flaw of the modern progressive, he's wanting equality of outcome, which in this particular situation, it kind of makes sense. But at the same time, it's unconstitutional as far as you can't force people to take a vaccine that, one, hasn't had many years of trials, but also, like I said a moment ago, it's a man-made virus. We've never had a vaccine where we had to like prevent or manipulate the virus itself from another manipulation of the virus to fight the virus. If that makes sense. I probably butchered that science up really bad, but I know what happens and what the whole purpose of a vaccination is, all right? And I'm not saying that I'm anti-vaccination, I'm an anti-vaxxer, I don't even think the idea that the vaccination itself is this mind-controlling device. Don't buy into that. I don't think it's this mind-controlling device created by Bill Gates. I think that's what's going on. I think, which unfortunately, a lot of times the individuals who want people to take the vaccinations and everything like that, they kind of go off that people who don't get into the vaccinations, they are believing these conspiracy theories, which there are some, but majority of us were just hesitant for the reasons that I just shared. Like, that's the general sentiment towards the vaccinations. At least the reasoning why people are not getting the vaccination. But yeah, I just think part of me is annoyed, but it's kind of amusing, like I said, because I just think of that episode from South Park where they're literally knocking door to door and asking people, have you given your heart to the government? Which is kind of a sad reality that we're in right now, because that's pretty much the modern progressive, it seems like. They have idolized the government to the point where they believe they could take and meet all of their needs and all of society's needs. Granted, I understand it is a response to the lack of involvement in their communities from the people itself. Remember, this is a constitutional republic. We govern amongst ourselves, which means if there's a problem, we can actually do it ourselves without government intervention. But if the people aren't doing anything, then you'll have some individuals that'll say, you know what, if y'all don't want to do it, then we'll get the government to do it for us, kind of deal. So I understand it's a response to that. But I think we need to be pushing ourselves and pushing each other to do more for our own people instead of going to the government and relying on them to meet our needs. I think they've proven to be very bad at that. And I think, I mean, listen, when it comes to like the health experts and stuff like that, like I said a moment ago, I mean, these are the same health experts that said that the COVID vaccine, or excuse me, the COVID-19 virus didn't originate from a lab, that those were conspiracy theories, and they used the big tech censors, big tech companies to suppress any speech that contradicted that. These are the same health experts that they denied and suppressed the fact that hydroxychloroquine can actually help and expedite the recovery and prevent people getting sick from COVID-19. Those are the same people that suppressed that fact from the public source to the point where they manipulated Trump's words into saying that he was telling everyone to drink chlorine, which is not true. That's not what he said. There was no mention of that. That's how bad it was. And so, yeah, I'm not really... I think the congresswoman from Georgia, Miss Green, I think she hit the nail on the head when she said that the majority of Americans, at least 55% to 60%, are over it. We don't really care. We just want to go on with their lives. Let the government freak out if they want. And those who are in this panic porn with COVID-19, they can just stay inside the house. And if they want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. And if they want to stay in the house, stay in the house. If you want to wear a mask, you can as well. I'm not going to be that conservative. I know there's some right-leaning people out there that are getting upset with people wearing a mask. In the same manner that people who wear masks get upset over those who don't wear a mask. It's kind of hypocritical in that sense. So I don't care if you wear a mask. If you want to wear a mask in public, that is your prerogative. Don't expect me to wear a mask. If you don't get upset, if I don't wear a mask, I won't get upset for you wearing a mask either. That's how I look at it. I think you look silly, and I think it's even more silly when you actually buy into the fact that Fauci's words of double masking makes sense after behind closed doors in the emails, him saying that he admits and acknowledges that wearing a mask doesn't really do much, at least the masks that we wear, they make no difference. The only mask that really help and prevent people or really is effective is the ones that the nurses wear, because they have this special kind of mask that pretty much actually covers the whole face, and they have better sanitary guidelines, so their masks are probably a lot cleaner than ours, etc. We don't clean our masks, all of this stuff. And as far as and also, like, if you've been sick from the COVID-19 vaccination, like, to me, doesn't make, like, you're immune. I believe in I believe in that. And then also, so I don't think there's really a need for a mask at that point. But also, you don't need a vaccination if you've been sick already from COVID. And also, I would say that, again, this is going to cause some controversy and everything like that, because Joe Rogan caught flack for saying this, but if you're my age, like around in their 20s or younger, chances are you don't need to be vaccinated. Those higher risk, like elderly, like the boomer generation, those who have like pre-existing lung conditions or heart conditions, I would say those, for those people, get the vaccine if you feel comfortable. So, yeah, that pretty much like sums up that perspective. And I would say, you know, yeah, this is full of corruption. These are the same experts that used big tech to censor and suppress speech that would have been really helpful information at the time, which will lead into my next topic of how Trump is suing these same companies that suppressed not only his speech, but a lot of conservative voices out there. Not even conservative voices, but just a more conservative opinion that at least align with a conservative point of view. But more on that after this break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic Friday edition of Week in Review. I am your host, Ken Drew. Before we go any further, I want to ask everyone, because I forgot to ask, how was your week? Please let me know through the comments, through the social media platforms I mentioned earlier in the beginning of the show. And with that said, I'll tell you had an interesting week, or at least an eventful week, would be Donald J. Trump. For those who haven't been aware, Donald J. Trump, our former president, has decided to file a class action lawsuit. And the premise is on that these companies are not acting as a completely private company, but as funnels for the government through favors and grants. To give you some context of this, the companies that Trump is specifically going after is Facebook, Twitter, and Google. And he actually goes after the, calls out the CEO specifically, such as Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, and Sundar Pichai? P-I-C-H-A-I. Let me know how I butchered it. Anyways, he got banned permanently on Twitter after the Capitol riots, like pretty much like a couple days after that happened. And I say riots loosely because I'll get into that later on. But, Facebook banned Trump from using his account until 2023. And if you probably have heard by now that Facebook decided to go ahead and get rid of their newsworthy clause, which allowed world leaders to keep their accounts from being taken down in the name of newsworthiness. So that's no longer a thing as a result of Donald Trump being banned or suspended until 2023. And then Google, if you type in, try to look up a speech on Google, they'll limit his search and search results, especially on YouTube, since Google is owned by YouTube. And so they filter that out. And so Trump is filing a class action lawsuit on behalf of all of that. And some of the allegations include they suppress speech and they suppress the truth. And while they suppress the truth, they amplify lies and leading to true misinformation while enforcing rules unfairly, cherry-picking rules, which we'll get into that in just a moment. Let's go ahead and get into like some of the statement from Twitter specifically, and then I'll look up the statement from Facebook as far as why they allowed the ban to continue until 2023. But if you want me to, I can. Actually, I'm just going to go ahead and do it, not because you want me to, but I'm going to read the tweets that Trump posted that got Trump in trouble, apparently, according to Twitter. So this is what Twitter says specifically. It says, after a close review of recent tweets from @RealDonaldTrump account and the context around them, specifically how they are being received and interpreted on and off Twitter, We have permanently suspended the account due to the risk of further indictment of violence. In the context of horrific events this week, we made it clear on Wednesday that additional violations of the Twitter rules would potentially result in this very course of action. Our public interest framework exists to enable the public to hear from elected officials and world leaders directly. It is built on the principle that the people have a right to hold power to account in the open. However, we made it clear going back years that these accounts are not above our rules entirely and cannot use Twitter to incite violence, among other things. We will continue to be transparent around our policies and their enforcement, which we'll get into a little bit about the whole transparency because there's some criticism with that as well. And these are the two tweets that got Donald Trump in trouble, and I'm going to read it in his voice. So I hope my accent is on point. The 75 million great American patriots who voted for me, America first, and make America great again, will have a giant voice long into the future. They will not be disrespected or untreated fairly in any way, shape, or form. In the second tweet that got Donald Trump in trouble that was a bridge too far, according to Twitter, is, to all those who have asked, I will not be going to inauguration on January 20th. And then Twitter goes on to say, due to the ongoing tensions in the United States and the uptick in global conversation in regards to the people who violently stormed the Capitol on January 6, 2021, air quotes on the word violently, these two tweets must be read in the context of broader events in the country and the ways which the president's statement can be mobilized by different audiences, including to incite violence, as well as in the context of the pattern of behavior from this account in recent weeks. After assessing the language in these tweets against our glorification of violence policy, we have determined that these tweets are in violation of the glorification of violence policy and the user at Real Donald Trump should be immediately permanently suspended from the service. We assess the two tweets referenced above under the glorification of violence policy, which aims to prevent the glorification of violence that could inspire others to replicate violent acts and determined that they were highly likely to encourage and inspire people to replicate in the criminal acts that took place at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. The determination is based on a number of factors, including President's statement that he will not be attending inauguration being received by a number of his supporters as a further confirmation that the election was not legitimate and seen as him disavowing his previous claim made via two tweets, 1 and 2, by his deputy chief of staff, Don Scavino, S-C-A-V-I-N-O. There would be an orderly transition on January 20th. The second tweet may also serve as encouragement to those potentially considering violent acts that the inauguration would be quote-unquote safe target as he would not be attending. The use of the words American patriots to describe some of his supporters is also being interpreted as support for those committing violent acts at the U.S. Capitol. Other point, the mention of his supporters having a giant voice long into the future and that they will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form is being interpreted as further indication that President Trump does not plan to facilitate an orderly transition and instead he plans to continue to support, empower, and shield those who believe he won the election. Plans for future and armed protests have already begun proliferating on and off Twitter, including proposed secondary attack on the U.S. Capitol and state buildings on January 17, 2021. As such, our determination is that the two tweets above are likely to inspire others to replicate the violent acts that took place January 6, 2021, and that there are multiple indicators that are being received and understood as encouragement to do so. That is the statement of Twitter and why they decided to go ahead and permanently ban Trump. Now, recently, like I said, the Facebook company, Mark Zuckerberg, decided to go ahead and further suspend Trump. Originally, he was suspended, but then decided they overreacted and said, we're just going to do it more proportional. And instead, we're just going to ban you until 2023 or something like that. Yeah, so this is what they said, apparently, in their suspension. Along the lines of the same thing as far as, you know, this is based on the incitement of violence, supposedly, on January 6th. What should we call it? Let me see. Yeah, so this is what they said. Today, the Oversight Board upheld Facebook suspension of former U.S. President Donald Trump's Facebook and Instagram accounts. As we stated in January, we believe our decision was necessary and right, and we're pleased the board has recognized the unprecedented circumstances justified the exceptional measures we took. However, while the board has not required Facebook to immediately restore Trump's account, it has not been specified the appropriate duration of the penalty. Instead, the board criticized the open-minded nature of the suspension content and intermediate and standardless penalty, and insisted we review our response. We will now consider the board's decision and determine an action that is clear and proportionate. In the meantime, Trump's accounts remain suspended. The board also made a number of recommendations on how we should improve our policies. While these recommendations are not binding, we actively sought the board's view on policies around political figures as we carefully reviewed its examination. We thank the board for the care and attention it gave this case. All right. A lot to digest. Let me go ahead and address Twitter real quick, and then we'll get into Facebook. All right. Let me think real quick. So, Twitter. First and foremost, let's just actually address these companies as a whole first. I think it's important. This lawsuit is very important in this regard. Until someone holds them accountable and there's some sort of check and power, right? They're going to feel invincible. They're going to have this superiority feeling that they can do whatever they want and that they can manipulate and distort reality however they see fit to their narrative. And I say that because obviously last year was a clear example of how they used their power to manipulate and censor the truth in order to fit a narrative. And I think Trump is onto something as well. And with that said, now, the examples from last year were the Wuhan lab theory, for example, right? They censored anyone who came out and said, you know, the lab or the virus came from a lab, not from a wet animal market. That didn't come from a bat that was in the market in Wuhan. It didn't come from a pangolin, whatnot. But instead it came from a lab and was manipulated by man, the virus, for a project, that's another conversation, whose premise is to manipulate viruses to the most potentially dangerous as it possibly get for human infection so we can learn how to better effectively fight against it if it were ever to evolve to that point. But the media and the big tech companies censored that. And they also censored and distorted the truth as far as hydroxychloroquine and how that can expedite the recovery process and also prevent getting infected. The media and big tech companies censored that while spinning Trump's words into thinking that he was telling everyone to drink chlorine. So that's how the premise of him amplifying misinformation, misinformation is the false narrative, right? They're not letting for speech to go out there that contradicts the narrative, which the narrative tends to be more liberal ideology based. And I think Trump's onto something when it comes to the government is being used as a funnel. And so they can't really use the claim of, or we're a private company, we can do whatever we want. Because they do have special permissions from the government and they do get special grants. And now this part, what I'm about to say, is conspiratorial. I have no direct evidence to support this claim, so don't take it to heart. But circumstances lead me to the speculation of, I do think they're also being manipulated and controlled by the Chinese government as well. The how quick they are to protect China when it comes to any accusation that comes from China or any criticism that comes from China. They're the first ones to defend China and their trustworthiness, which I find that very weird and odd for company, for quote-unquote private companies. If anything, they're serving their money interest first because China has a big market. But I think they have, I think there's some dark money or dark deals down there where the Chinese government has a hand in these companies as well. So I think Trump's onto something in that regard. And remember, Trump was on the other side. He used to be a businessman. And so he probably knows some stuff that we don't know in the public eye. But anywho, so there's that aspect. And as far as Twitter and their policies, right, inciting glorification of violence, I didn't realize saying, calling American patriots and 75,000 people and stuff like that, that was just too far. I didn't realize that's inciting violence. And the funny thing is, the whole misinformation thing, I find it funny how they talk about how the incidents from January 6th were caused by Trump, which if you don't know the context of what happened that day, there was a rally that Trump held and he was telling his protesters, you know, to march up there and make your voices heard. And that's what the media plays in the clips over and over again to display that, hey, this is evidence of him inciting violence to come and attack us, which quite frankly, I think that's overblown. And I'm kind of laughing at their horrified or their anger, supposedly. Like, oh yeah, your feelings are hurt. Well, you've been selling us out for years. But anyways, which we call. But they won't tell you that Trump said after that, march up there, make your voices heard peacefully. Peacefully. They won't mention that, but that's part of the whole class action lawsuit of suppressing speech, suppressing the truth to fit a certain narrative. Now, we have to understand that a class action lawsuit, it has to go through a judge first to be certified. Right now, Trump has just filed the class action lawsuit. He just filed for it. It's not certified yet. It has no grounds yet. But once a judge certifies and deems it as it has legs to stand on and meets the standards for a class action lawsuit, then the foundations actually start to build from there with this class action lawsuit. But anyways, as I was saying, so I find it interesting that Twitter used those two tweets in the excitement of violence. Meanwhile, there's world leaders out there, like the leader of Iran before the latest election, but during Trump's tenure anyway, the leader of Iran would tweet out, literally calling for the genocide of the Jewish population in Israel. Then you have little rocket man, Kim Jong-un, in North Korea, threatening to bomb the United States. And granted, Trump also said in Twitter, like he would respond with fire and fury, but they didn't take those two world leaders down. In the meantime, Twitter also allows for porn. They don't take down child porn even. They don't take down accounts that glorify or call for the violence against children, minors under the age of 18. But now suddenly Twitter wants to come out and hold the moral high ground and say this goes against the policy of glorification of violence. So I think that's very hypocritical in that sense. And I think, like I said a moment ago, until they start losing in these lawsuits and courts actually start striking down against them, which we won't even get into the fact that, in my perspective anyway, from my perspective, that they pretty much are monopolies and they should be enforcing the monopoly laws we have in place already, but that's my perspective. But until these courts start striking them down and start saying you can't do this, and you're clearly acting on behalf of the government, so you can't claim that your private company can enforce these rules. Until then, they're just going to keep doing what they're doing, and they're just going to have this, whatchamacallit, they're going to have this this brazen behavior and this arrogance that lets them continue in this clearly ideological war that they're waging against anyone with a conservative opinion. I'm not even saying conservatives out there anymore. I'm just saying conservative opinion. Anything that sides with conservative point of view, they will spin the narrative and censor it. Because as soon as it goes against the narrative, they don't want that. And then they'll come out with their fact checkers, right? Which, for context, I want everyone to know the fact checkers here, which Facebook uses and Twitter uses. You can go to their website, right, at pointer.com, right? Pointer, P-O-Y-N-T-E-R. It's on their website as far as who their donors are. Their donors include Facebook, ESPN, Disney, Washington Post, New York Times. Those are their quote-unquote independent donors, which the Washington Post is owned by Amazon, FYI. Let's not forget that. Or Jeff Bezos, and we all know where he leans. Those are your quote-unquote independent fact checkers. Yeah, I think it's very clear they're waging an ideological war with anyone with a conservative opinion out there. And until then, this is how we have to fight back. Now, as far as what Facebook has done, I think what Facebook has done has also been hypocritical. And here's what I mean. One example is the Walk Away movement, right? The Walk Away movement was started by a guy who, after the 2016 election, he had this red pill moment and saw how the media did the spinning. He watched a YouTube video and basically made him, I don't want to say a Republican, but a Trump supporter at the very least. And he started this Facebook page where a lot of people had the same or similar story where they left the Democrat Party. And that was on the premise of, like, Ronald Reagan saying that I didn't leave the Democrat Party left me. That was the premise of the Walk Away movement. You might have heard about it at some point last year, and they called it like a Russian hoax or something like that. So apparently it was a Russian thing. Everything with the anything that was conservative last year that had some any merit was deemed and dismissed as a Russian hoax to some degree. Or Russian spy. I don't know. With that said, they took that page down as a result after the events of January 6th. You probably remember the big tech purge that occurred earlier this year. There was a lot of tension, a lot of heat. But they used inciting violence as a reason to take the Facebook page down, which obviously their idea of inciting violence is just questioning the election results. They obviously are on the premise that the allegations of voter fraud, or at least mass wide voter fraud, is false, which they haven't really proven to be false. They just keep saying it's false. It's the equivalent of putting a rug on top of the crap and expecting someone to believe the crap's not there anymore. Keep telling them it's not there, but the person can still see the bump on the rug and smell the crap in the room. That kind of deal. But Facebook took it down, but they didn't enforce the same application of rules to a group that caused millions of dollars of damage last year. It actually incited violence. Groups such as the Black Lives Matter organization, but also Antifa. Which, according to Joe Biden, that's not a group or an organization. It's just an idea. So that's one example of Facebook cherry-picking their rules. We can go to Google and how they've cherry-picked their rules as far as the application of how someone should monitor their speech. Let's go to Parler, for example. Parler's back up now, at least on a on the Apple platform. I'm not sure about Google, but Google, they made it impossible for anyone to download or update the app anymore. And I'm pretty sure you couldn't even type up parlor.com or anything like that on a URL through Chrome or something like that. Again, same reasoning, inciting violence. But what they won't tell you is that the majority of the planning of this, right, the majority of the people who actually like caused some disruption, I won't deny there was some disruption that day. Someone did die. One person did die as a result of trying to jumping over a window by the hands of the police. A former veteran, small business owner in California. But that's the majority of the plan took place, but Facebook didn't get brought down. Why was Facebook not? How come the rules weren't applied to Facebook as well? So that's really the premise of these lawsuits. And I hope for the sake of free speech that Trump wins this case. And I think there's good legal standing, especially given how their behavior has shown that at least circumstantial evidence shows that they are under the influence of the government and therefore they've lost the status to claim they're an independent company. The cherry picking of rules has got to stop from these companies. And speaking of cherry picking, that will lead us to the next topic of the track runner who got banned and booted off the Olympic team of the United States of America because she failed a drug test. But more on that later after the break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, and this is the Friday edition of Week in Review. Week in Review. And before I go any further, I want to ask everyone, does anyone know of this track runner named Sha'Carri Richardson? Now, I don't know much about track, so I didn't really know much about her. So if she wanted publicity, this is good for her. There's no such thing as bad publicity. Publicity is publicity, right? Get your name out there. Make more people aware of the sport of track. And she failed her drug test. Her drug test was considered a performance-enhancing drug, which, I'll be honest, I'm not really sure if that really constitutes a performance-enhancing drug. I guess it could be, depending on what your use is for. But the whole premise of performance-enhancing drug, it's essentially you're cheating. You're cheating, and therefore it's not a level playing field, and you're hurting the people that could have won on a fair basis. Now, the drug she took that made her fail the test was weed, pot, marijuana. That was what she failed her drug test on. And the rules do state you can't do that stuff. You shouldn't be doing that. The rules do state that. And eventually, she originally was just banned for the 100 meter, but then she got booted off the team after she, I don't want to say she complained, but she definitely wasn't happy about it. She explained that the reason why she did pot was because her mom passed away and she was going through a hard time. That was her reasoning. I have mixed feelings about this. Here's my take on it. First and foremost, I feel for her and sympathize with the loss of a loved one. My condolences is out to her and her family. I lost my mom when I was 13 years old in 2009. I almost said 2019. But 2009, she passed away. She didn't even reach the age of 50. Mental health is a real issue, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that. In the era that she grew up in, especially in the Hispanic community, it's taboo to seek help, which, in the Hispanic community, especially in the 2000s era. If you went and sought help, you were labeled as crazy. So there's that. But aside from that, I sympathize with her in that regard. And honestly, I can't say I would have done the same thing, but I could see myself doing something along like that. And I'm just saying that in a sense of like human nature. You want to get away from the pain. You want to get away from what's hurting you. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to face it. It's human nature. We don't like to deal with pain. We want to go away and move away from pain. So I understand in that regard. And I don't think it's a complete defining character moment of her life. I would say probably 90% of Americans have smoked pot at least once in their life. I know it's the stats out there probably say otherwise, but I think it's underreported. I don't think many people are honest in some of those surveys or take the survey seriously when that question arises of, have you smoked pot before? I know I never took those surveys seriously, but regardless, at least the majority of the people I've met in my life have smoked pot before. I want to say at least, 60 to 65% of my friends have smoked pot. And if not, smoked pot occasionally. I would say that 65%, maybe 5% are regular smokers or pot users. Because remember, there's edibles too. And now that I've been separated from Uncle Sam, as far as the desire to try that, the cannabis product, it appeals to me in a medical sense. I'd rather have someone, including myself, take a cannabis prescription or over-the-counter medication or just use it to medicate themselves over taking 1,000 pills when American has a prescription problem with overdosing. So I sympathize her with all of that. But the rules do state she can't do that. And so it's a slight hit on her character, a small hit. If she really wanted to pursue this and really wanted to escape, she chose the wrong outlet. She had an opportunity of a lifetime to get in and participate in this international spectacle. And she could have ran for this in spirit of her mom. And so what turned out to be a really bad month already probably turned out to be an even worse month for her as a result. But the rules do state that you can't do that. But I don't really know the science as far as like how is that a performance-enhancing drug if she smokes pot. Like, I guess it would be performance-enhancing like if you're like dealing with some pain and suddenly because of marijuana you can't feel it anymore. But it would be no different if you got injected with a painkiller or you took painkillers as a result so you can actually perform better. Like, wouldn't that be the same category? So I do find it weird how they consider marijuana or what constitutes a performance-enhancing drug. I guess it just depends on your idea of performance-enhancing drug, but I think those things I just mentioned, that could be considered performance-enhancing drug. But as far as the Olympic Committee, when they talked about fairness and everything like that, this is the part where I have real big issue with, and I find it a little hypocritical in the Olympic Committee and the Olympic U.S. Olympic team as well. They should have had her back on this. They want to talk about fairness when they're allowing biological men compete in female sports. And none of the sports worlds have really talked about this, at least when it comes to like ESPN or even Fox Sports. Some of the people I listen to that over there, they haven't really addressed this. And the cherry picking when it comes to the application of quote-unquote fairness. But you have men, biological men, competing in women's sports. men are biologically, not to say there aren't anecdotes out there and anomalies, but for the most part, men are biologically stronger than women. Now, they do this in the spirit of the LGBTQIA+, which I find that a little strange, considering that it only seems to be applying to men crossing over to women's sports. You're not hearing much about, you don't hear anything about women crossing over to men's sports. Why? Because biologically speaking, men are stronger and faster than women. A lot of these biological men that couldn't make it in the men's world, in the world of athletics, when they switch over to female sports, suddenly they're breaking records. Female records. And they boast about this, and so does the sports world. At least the liberal sports world now. They boast about this. And say this is a great achievement on equality. And yet here we have someone who went through a life-changing event. In her lowest moment, smoked some weed. And they want to talk about fairness. And say she can't compete in the Olympics now. What the hell is that all about? I'm upset for her. Okay, if you want to benefit in one competition, in one event, okay, cool, whatever. But to better off the entire U.S. Olympic team altogether? You want to talk about fairness? Now, I don't think this is about race, and some people have decided to go the race route with this, and I'm not going through the race route. The route that I'm going through is the route I'm sticking with. As far as biological men are able to compete in women's sports, in the name of LGBTQIA+ rights, but someone who went through a traumatic event, smoked some weed, which again, you can say that there are other performance-enhancing drugs that are legal in the Olympics and sports in general that people use. That's a no-no. That rule gets to be enforced. I get the rules are the rules. And I agree that there should be fairness. But how about let's actually apply across the board, including kicking biological men out of female sports. And yes, that pisses me off. I can't believe we're having this conversation. If they want to compete so bad with each other and compete in these events, then they should have their own committee. They should have their own Olympics, transgender Olympics. Isn't that a fair trade-off? Isn't that a fair compromise? But no. They want to shove down everyone's throat and get involved in something that really doesn't belong to them. I guess it's a man's world after all. Women can't even compete fairly in their own sport. Biological women can't compete fairly in their own sport in the name of LGBTQIA+. Which leads me to my last segment after this break. Welcome back to this Friday edition of Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew, Week in Review. And before we go any further, I want to remind everyone that you can give this show a review through the platform you listen to the podcast on. I hope it's a 5-star review. I think I do a decent job explaining my position and the facts of these events. With that said, the last segment, I want to focus on was a YouTube video that got a lot of controversy. The song is called Coming for Your Children. Now, I don't recommend watching this video unless you want to be scarred for the next 5 to 10 years of your life as a result. I'm going to save you the 4 minutes of your life and mental health with this video. Now, the video is made up of homosexual men, and they're in a choir. And it starts off with this man, gay man, talking about, you know, Yes, we're coming for our children. We want them to be more accepting and loving of us compared to your generation, right? The previous generations. That's the whole premise of, or at least they allege that's the premise of their video. And they say we're coming for your children because that's what a lot of conservative parents and outlets in general say, as far as this is when it comes to cartoon shows and networks promoting LGBT stuff. They're basically indoctrinating children into accepting this as a normal behavior, and or they're indoctrinating children so all of them can be transformed and become homosexual themselves. And that's why they say, we're coming for your children. So that's some context as far as where they're coming from. Now, when you see the video, and again, I don't recommend it, but when I saw the video, I was really disturbed, right? And here's the thing, too. In the video, they eventually show, like, all these members of the choir, right? And they have, like, they're on these small boxes in a similar fashion you would see from a school yearbook, where people have their picture taken, and they're all, you know, in their respective classes, etc., right? And the only difference is they're in motion, they're singing. Here's what's interesting, when I found it disturbing. There's a good handful of those choir members that were convicted pedophiles. Convicted pedophiles. Now, I know there's some people out there, the more progressive base, that get upset when the conservative base, especially more religious groups, start comparing homosexuality to pedophilia, especially when it comes to the whole bathroom situation. Oh, this is going to promote and groom people into accepting pedophilia behavior. Thus, at one point last year, you probably heard of the whole hashtag Save Our Children. I was one of those people as well. Especially after there was a toy product that came last year where I want to say, like, there was a certain button you pressed, and the button you pressed not only made some weird, like, seductive sexual noises, but it was also, like, in the seductive area of the female product, if you know where I'm drifting at. And so that's the controversy that sparked the Save Our Children movement, or hashtag, I should say. But essentially, like, a lot of people, like, tend to go the pedophilia route because that's, like, the domino fallacy, right? The domino effect, worst case scenario, spiral downwards, out of control, whatever. Worst case scenario. And I would agree that some of it is a hyperbole. Some of the fears is a little bit hyperbolic. But I do see that could be a situation where it could become a reality. And because of this video, what this does, it validates that worst case scenario. The scenario of, this is just going to groom children now into accepting the homosexual behavior and trying to make them all homosexual, but also grooming them into accepting pedophilia as a societal norm as well. It doesn't help, like I said, it validates, and it doesn't help that at least a good handful of them were convicted pedophiles on that choir. And they're singing, we're coming for your children. It's not a good look. So there's that aspect. And I also find it disturbing in this aspect. I've mentioned before in the last couple episodes, in the last week in review, I mentioned this as well, that there's science behind it as far as there is more risk than reward when it comes to this lifestyle, the homosexual lifestyle. They're more likely, especially homosexual men, they're 50 times more likely, or 20 times more likely, excuse me, to be infected with some form of STD, STDI, sexual transmitted diseases, sexual transmitted infections, or AIDS. And as a result, they have shorter lifespans. The average lifespan tends to be less than the age of 50. Now, to put this in context, as far as, like, what they're doing, what these networks are doing, what this choir and what they're saying, oh, we're coming for your children, in this I'll admit, it's a good singing voice. They got good voices, I'll give them that. They sounded good. It was a little catchy, not going to lie. But, essentially, let's reverse the script a little bit. Let's pretend the choir is tobacco smokers. And let's say these cartoon networks and channels, where their audience is targeted towards children under the age of 18. Let's say they're promoting people smoking tobacco. Based on the science, we know how harmful tobacco can be. How many people would actually be upset with that? And I'm talking to the more progressive base out there now. How many would you be upset if they did that? Now, granted, the choir, they probably wouldn't sound as good. They'd probably be more like, "We're coming for you, children! We're coming for you, children! We want them to be accepting and tolerant." It wouldn't be a good singing voice, and I actually hurt doing that to my voice. But how many would be upset? Why would you be upset? Is it because you're hateful and intolerant? Or is it because you know the science behind it? The science that tells you there is health risks, real health risks, associated. Is that why you would be upset by it? If you heard that? Or you saw that being promoted on a cartoon network or Nickelodeon, for example, or even Disney? Would that upset you? If so, now you understand why people like myself have a hard time with this. This is why we have a hard time. We find videos like this, choirs like saying we're coming for your children, disturbing. It's not because we're hateful or intolerant. We know the science. That doesn't mean we think it should be taboo to talk about this stuff, as far as there's people out there who have the attraction to the same sex in the same manner I have the attraction to the opposite sex. I get that. But if it bothers you that if tobacco companies were to do the same thing with the science we know, then how come why did we choose to ignore this? Why do we choose to ignore this? Now, I grew up around a smoker. And I'll tell you, him smoking didn't affect my view of him as far as his character. His character is not defined by your behavior necessarily, as far as your habits. Your sexual habits can be applied the same thing here. We have allowed society to define character based on your hormones. Character is not defined by your hormones. Character is not defined by your social decisions as far as habits. Now, when it comes to smoking, at least, or maybe even drinking, it may be an example or reflection of an outlet, if anything, of something deeper going on inside you that I can't explain it for you. But I can tell you this. If you think for 1 minute that we should be okay with this, and that you shouldn't be, and that we should be accepting as far as going and targeting children in the same manner that we wouldn't want tobacco companies targeting children, you got another thing coming for you. And no, I'm not stating or trying to incite violence, but don't be surprised by the rebuke. I will rebuke whatever it is your ideology is trying to promote by saying all this every single time. I don't hate you as a result, but you're wrong. And here's the thing that the video doesn't do, right? Doesn't do for them. Because it validates the worst fears of the fact that there's people in this group, choir group, they're convicted pedophiles. It also proves that the LGBT community is starting to accept, or the pedophiles out there, they're trying to use the LGBTQIA plus community as a tool to allowing society or forcing society to accept them as and accept this as normal behavior. And people on the progressive side will say that's extreme. But the thing is, I haven't heard anyone from that group, as far as the elite people of that group, and I think there's a disconnect. I think the regular voters out there, who are part of the LGBT community out there, would agree that they will quickly denounce and rebuke them. But the elite group, I haven't heard a single one from that community, like their leaders supposedly, call them out and say, do not bring that crap over here. Do not try to use our community and use it in that regard. We are not going to be used as a tool. I have not heard that from them. And as a result, it validates the concern of, or at least further concerns people, as far as the LGBT community. Eventually, they're going to be allowing pedophilia into their group, and then eventually, anyone who denounces pedophilia, they're going to label them as intolerant and hateful. Because children can be very predatory. Very predatory. That's the sad reality. And I have friends and who are part of the LGBTQIA plus community. I have nothing against them. You know, if you're homosexual male, you know, please don't try to make a move on me. I'm not interested in that regard. But I'm not going to define your character based on your hormones and what your sexual preference is. But please don't also come to my children in the same manner I would tell a smoker, like, listen, I love you and everything like that, but please don't smoke around me. Please don't smoke around my children. I could say the same thing. Please don't smoke around my children. And please don't talk about your choice of living without my consent, at least. Or without the parents' consent. I'm not a parent, but I sympathize with them. This is society trying to strip more power away from the parents. And saying parents' voices don't matter. And this is where we're going to leave off today. Thank you for tuning in today for today's episode of Taboo Topic Week in Review. Remember, in order for us to think, we have to risk being offensive. And that's what Taboo Topic is all about. That quote came from Jordan Peterson. I hope you have a great rest of the Friday. And have a good Saturday as well. And I'll be back on Sunday and we'll talk about faith. I got a surprise for you on faith as every episode is going to be something different, as I promised in the beginning of when I started these podcasts. And please, remember, leave a review. I hope I get a 5-star. I think I've earned the right to get a 5-star. But if you think this show could be improved upon, or you think it could just go ahead and die off, by all means, let me know. I will read the comments. And with that said, have a good rest of the Friday. Thank God it's Friday, everyone.